So then let's get this started. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see so many faces in here this early Sunday morning. Glad that you made it. So to energize you a little bit, let's see a show of hands. Who of you is working actively in one open source community? Okay. From these who were just showing up, which of your projects are actively processing user data? And do you think that you are doing this GDPR compliant? Okay, so it's great to have you in here, everybody. This talk is about privacy by design and some small infos about myself. Been there, done that. In open source for now about 20 years, have been with several open source projects. Now I'm working at IO, which is a company behind Adblock Plus, and I'm glad to be in the lucky position to even get paid for working in an open source project. So what I want to walk you through today is focusing on privacy by design. So it will be not be a talk focused primarily on GDPR, but we will go past this a bit as well. I want to focus on this one concept that is part of the new regulation, but goes beyond this and also has been there for a much longer time. So we will start with looking at the principles of privacy by design, then why does it matter and how does it affect free and open source software? And then, because it is a concept that is easy to grasp but hard to do, I will provide you with some examples from our Adblock Plus experience. So about the concept, the background of this is that privacy by design was already devised in the 90s. It is coming from Canada. There was this there was this privacy commissioner named Anne Kaboukian, and she devised 7 principles of privacy by design. And I will now introduce you to these 7 criteria. Welcome. So the first of the 7 criteria is called proactive, not reactive. What does this mean? It means that privacy should be part of your product development from day one. So you do not plug the security holes or privacy issues as an afterthought. They get anticipated and they get prevented from the beginning. Second criterion, privacy as the default setting. So this means that by default, your software is configured in a way to protect the user's privacy best and that it collects the least possible amount of data. So this means that the user does not need to do anything in the first place to protect their data. And if they would like to, they can decide which data to share. And the users will only do so if they understand the benefit of sharing their data and if they know what is getting done with the data and if they know how to decline the consent whenever they would like to. The third criterion is called privacy embedded into design. This means design is the conceptualization phase, is the product roadmap, where you think about how you want to develop the software in the future. And if you're doing this most specifically in a company environment, privacy aspects get sacrificed quite quickly, unfortunately. Because always developing core features, functionality is always more important. So this principle means that you need to define privacy and security as the core features of your product and that you need to prioritize them accordingly. The third criterion is called full functionality. This is, I think, the trickiest of the 7, and in the end, it's about innovation and having really great ideas, because it is key to come up with smart solutions that both protect privacy and at the same time do not limit the business case or the functional scope for the user. And this can be really tricky because for several functionalities, you need at least some data from the user. So this means that it's about coming up with good ideas to avoid these dichotomies and provide good solutions for the users that they get the most of the functionality with giving the least of their data. The fifth principle is called end-to-end security, full lifecycle protection. This means that when you are developing software and you are processing user data, you need to have in mind the full lifecycle of the user's data, which means it starts from data generation to how you are using the data. Probably also you are handing data over to third parties. Sometime probably you are archiving the data, and sometime you are deleting the data. And all of this product lifecycle, data lifecycle, you have to keep in mind to secure the privacy of your users. Sorry. The sixth criterion is called visibility and transparency. Keep it open. This means that you can only then build good relationships with your users when you can communicate as transparent as possible what the user's data is used for. And which is also very important for the regulation that now came into place, this information, what you're using the data for, can always be verified anytime by an independent third party, so that it is possible to have your processes and your data storage and everything related to users' data audited by a third party anytime. And the seventh, and I think the most important of these seven principles, is respect for the user privacy, keep it user-centric. So it means there is a sovereign user that is in the center of all privacy efforts. And this means that the users own their data. It is not you owning the user's data. The ownership always keeps with the user. And this means that the user grants and denies the access to the data. It means that always they have the full visibility on who has access to their data, and they can change the data, and they can also trigger its deletion. So this for a first overview, and I'd like to wrap up these seven principles a bit from different perspectives. First one is from the product or free and open source software perspective. This software, it has to prevent privacy and security issues from the very beginning. It always has to request a permission first, which means you have to work with opt-ins instead of opt-outs, for example. And the software needs to put the user in charge of deciding on their level of privacy. When you are thinking about your product or open source software roadmap, you have to give security and privacy issues top priority so that they are not deferred to feature development. And you need to innovate on how to provide the best features without sacrificing privacy. And as a software company or as a FOSS community, you have to provide transparency to your users on the purpose for which the data is used. And you, as said, need to consider privacy in the full product lifecycle. So why does this matter now? There is a general approach to this, like the saying goes, privacy is like oxygen. You only notice when it's gone. So in my perspective, privacy is like a human right, and you as a software developer, as part of an open source community, you should provide your users with the tools that that protect their breathing space. But apart from this overall general ethics, now there are real regulations. And I think everybody of you nowadays has heard from about GDPR. It came into place in May. So I won't give you a full background in GDPR. There are many other talks about this and many people who can do this much better than me. But some things that I want to highlight to you is that the first one is that the aim of this general data protection regulation is to protect the personal data of individuals in the European Union in an increasingly data-driven world. Its most basic requirements are first transparency. What is being done with the data that is collected? Accessibility, that is about this user sovereignty, that the user can access their data, and consumer rights in terms of deleting the data and changing the data anytime. And the third and foremost principle is privacy by design. So now we are having this concept that comes from the 90s embedded in one EU-wide regulation, which as EU users are taking part in also software that is provided by international companies, also needs to be complied by these international companies. So here in the Article 25 that I got on the slide, it says very explicit that privacy by design now is a requirement and not a suggestion. And that there are really very large fines if a company or somebody providing a software is not complying with these new regulations. But how does this now affect open source software? The most important thing is that this regulation not only applies to companies, it applies to every data processing apart from, and there's a clause, apart from personal or family related use. So the regulator took something apart, like some stuff that is done as a hobby or that is really personal, that is really family related. But still, apart from this, it applies to really any entity, not only companies, that processes European user data anywhere in the world. So what this means, if you are a single free and open source developer scratching your own itch, like the saying goes, is this a hobby? Is this a personal use? Is it probably family related? There is no formal decision yet. So this is something that I assume will be part of several discussions and probably also court decisions in the upcoming months and years, because there is no formal regulation on this up to now. But if you are a single FOSS developer who is providing tools to your community, like a forum or a website or an issue tracker or whatever, then you are actively processing user data apart from personal or family use. And as soon as you're doing that, GDPR is definitely part of your concerns. And where it also fully applies if you are part of a company that either produces or uses free and open source software, then as well, this is nothing about personal use. This is something where GDPR applies. And in this regard, you really need to be concerned about properly implementing privacy by design. So the bright side is that open source projects most of the time are mostly in a good position for these compliances, because in general they already are transparent. They have flexible processes, they have good feedback mechanisms. So one part of the principles is already in place. Also, in most of the projects, security and encryption mechanisms, for example, they already have an importance and are implemented. And the third thing is that GDPR is also about transparency in early breach notifications. So in terms of having a software that is already open source and where all of the communication is very transparent, this leads into an easier way of doing this. So probably not that many things to be that much concerned, but still having these principles in mind will definitely help you improve on your software, even completely apart from GDPR, but just because you are respecting your users. So let's look into this a bit in more detail, and I will provide some examples. So there are so many touch points when you are doing open source software development where you are interacting with your users' data. So this is for sure you are doing this in several of the products. So these are examples from Ubuntu, And in Ubuntu, you have the feature of problem reporting, and you have location services, and you have the opportunity to give your consent whether you want to do this or whether you don't want to do this. And these are just small features that you need to care about to implement these in your products. But a part of your product, as said, there are so many other touch points that you have with your community, and you need to care about them now as well. So one thing that most of the open source communities have is a forum. So now this year is the AdBlock Plus forum, and because people register to get into the discussions, AdBlock Plus, as the owner of this forum, is collecting personal data, and this means that there needs to be a privacy policy explaining what has been done with the data, whether it is handed over to another third party, whether there is tracking in place, when the data is deleted, and so on. So this is an example for the privacy policy for this specific forum. And it first tells what is collected in terms of personal data. And that it is not required to participate, that you can delete your account, and later on, in the privacy policy, there's also an address where people can turn to if they want to have anything changed up or deleted about their data, or if they just want to get some more information about that. Another example is that most of the open source communities will run in a public bug tracker, also a tool that is collecting personal data from the users. So again, the same thing. This is the bug tracker of the Open Office project, and they are providing a privacy policy here. And here in their privacy policy, They again tell that there is personal data collected in registration, that there is no transfer of the data to third parties, and that it's the email address, and what is necessary, and all of the rest is voluntary. And later on, more data that is collected, what it is collected for, and when it will be deleted. So if you need to collect personal data, like you need in a registration process, like here. There is the need for explaining very detailed how you're processing the data and how the user can decline the rights to access the data again. Same thing about the websites that the open source communities are running. This is the Drupal website. Again, same story, privacy policy here. So an interesting thing about the Drupal website is that they are handing over information to third parties. This is Google Analytics, and that this is called Perfect Audience. And here they provide the opportunity to opt out. So they say we are tracking this by default, but if you don't want to be tracked, go here, and then you are not tracked. Would be better the other way around, but still they are providing the information and give the user the opportunity to get their data handled in a way they want to have it. What else is there to consider? Probably you're providing your community with other tools, like you're doing code hosting, probably on your own Vision control system. You have your Git set up somewhere, for example, or you're using GitHub or GitLab. If you provide your users with access to these platforms, you are collecting their personal data, and again, you need to get into this conversation. Same for automation tools for continuous integration and testing, for examples. Same for other kinds of communications that we didn't touch up until now, for example, like mailing lists or newsletters, or collaborative editing. So there are people, if you just look for these topics on the web, there are people who are having very detailed concepts now how to do collaborative editing, like on Etherpad, for example, in a GDPR compliant way. So if there is a need in your open source community for that, check these out. There are good ideas about this, how to set up these processes. These were very general ideas because at BlockPlus we are very privacy friendly and very much concerned with this topic. I chose this open source product as an example where I can show a bit more of a detail towards all of the stuff that was discussed before to just make it more tangible. So talking about AdBlock Plus, there's not only one product that probably most of you know, which is the browser extension. There are dozens. So we have the desktop browser extensions, we are having mobile partnerships, and we are having mobile browsers, meaning apps. And all of these are free software, and then they are licensed on GPL version 3. And in each of them, we really care about privacy by design. And I want to show you some more examples about this. So the first and I think most important thing, and in fact, that is also the reason why I chose to work for IO, the company behind AdBlock Plus, is that privacy is really part of the company's DNA. So this is how we put it in our privacy policy, that it is really part of our values that we collect as little data as possible. And if it is in any means possible to don't collect anything, that we can provide anonymous or at least pseudonymous use, we will do this. And this is something that really comes from the past, where this open source project was started by one single open source developer, Vladimir Palland, and he was deeply concerned about privacy and still is. And this is something that for a company that now grew to 130 employees is still a part of our DNA and is still looked into in everything that we are doing. We are discussing a lot about this, and I will show you more details about that. So coming back to the 7 principles that I provided, the first I said is proactive, not reactive, and here meet Judith. Judith is our data protection officer. She's the doctor of law, and she is she's involved in any of the feature developments that we are doing at AdBlock Plus. So this is our GitLab repository with our GitLab issue tracker. This is all open, as we are an open source company and community. All of our discussions are transparent and accessible by the public. So as you see here, this is something about a new feature that we wanted to support in our issue reporter. And it would mean that we would collect one bit of user data. And because of this, here Judith, our DPO, is integrated in the whole process from the start. And I think this is a very important thing. Not every open source community will have a dedicated data protection officer, but see that you have one person who knows about the regulations, but also lives for the user's privacy by heart, and involve these persons from the beginning in your feature development. The second principle, privacy as the default setting. This is very easy for us because we try to just not collect any user's data. So what you see here, privacy score is an open scanner where you just enter a website, and this is the result for our AdBlock Plus website. And you see that we are just not tracking anything. There are no cookies. There are no social plugins. There just isn't anything. And the same goes for our tools. So there is no telemetry, there is no location-based tracking on the mobile devices, we do not send crash reports. All of these things we just don't do, so having privacy as a default setting is very easy for us, but it's not easy for product development. So we just don't know who our users are. We don't know about their issues. Where's our product working for them? Where, when they visit our website, do they probably get stuck? So we want to improve the functionality for the users, but we don't know about them. So there are lots of discussions raging at AdBlock Plus if we should have tracking, if we should have telemetry. At the moment, what we are doing is that we are focusing on user support, so to get into a conversation with our users. We have a feature which is called the issue reporter, which I will come to a bit later, where people can report if anything is not working with the extension, to tell us about stuff that people don't understand or don't like. And we are doing user tests. And I think this is a very important feature and something that I can recommend for any open source community. Go and talk to your users in any way that you are able to. And formal usability tests are a great way to do this. So if you want to learn more about that, come and visit us at our booth. We are doing usability tests the whole day. We have our UX experts there, and they will walk you through our new features and see how you like them, if you understand them, if there are ideas on improving them, and also about what is already there. So get into this conversation with the user means that formal tracking things in the software are probably not that important anymore for your product development. Another example regarding privacy by design is how we are doing it on our website. So we are showing an explanatory video, which is also quite useful for the users. And videos that are coming from YouTube always place the YouTube cookie on the user's devices. And also, if you're using the no cookie tag, it just doesn't work. There's still data sent to Google. So what we are using here is YouTubeNoCookies.com, which is a service that strips this and does not affect our users with Google cookies anymore. So we really try to look into this in every touch point that we are having with the user. Another example for the criterion, which is called privacy embedded into design, which means, as said, define privacy and security as the core features and prioritize them accordingly. This is also something that where I think AdBlock Plus is a very good example, because one of the features that we are providing is AdBlock Plus as a privacy tool. So AdBlock Plus is not only blocking ads. Besides ads, which are really annoying in your web browsing experience, the even more freaking thing is that you are getting tracked everywhere. So what we are providing are the privacy and security options here, which allow the user to get in more filter lists, mainly Easy Privacy in this case, which blocks additional tracking and also blocks social media icon tracking. And another thing that is specific to AdBlock Plus, not to the most of the other ad blockers, is that we have this thing called acceptable ads, which means that we show ads that are not annoying or not that much annoying. At least they comply with the acceptable ads criteria. But these would track the user. So what we provide as well is another feature where we say only allow ads without third party tracking. So the user has a very fine granular options in how much privacy they want to have, and if they want to have full privacy, they only allow the acceptable ads without third party tracking and activate the Easy Privacy list and the social icons tracking list, so that all of this gets blocked. So when you're using Easy Privacy, and this goes for AdBlock Plus as well as any other ad blocker that provides you with access to this filter list, you are pretty safe against most of these tracking strategies like cookies, fingerprinting, session replays, and so on. The next criterion where I wanted to provide an example is about full functionality. So coming up with smart solutions that both protect the privacy and at the same time do not limit the functionality to the users. So as said before, we are providing this issue reporter, which means when the user is using our product and they are seeing ads, for example, still, they have the possibility to report this to us. And they can provide an email address, but they always have the option to submit this anonymously. And we explain that in here that if you enter an email address, we can get back into contact with you. But if you don't care about that, then don't provide the email address. Do this anonymously, and it's also totally okay for us. The next thing where also we are having an opt-in, this is a feature that is not live yet, but what we are thinking about is that people allow us to use the screenshots to help identify ads through machine learning, which also could break the user's privacy. So this is something that is opt-in, and also only users that would like to support us with this endeavor, they opt into this. Another thing that is very important about this issue reporter functionality is that it is allows the user to take a screenshot of the website where they were seeing ads. And if you're taking screenshots, there might be the case that some personal data is shown, like you were logged into a website or to a platform, and you don't want to send this information, this personal information, to us, but you want to send us the information about the ad. So what the issue reporter is also providing as a feature is the option to clear out, like to put a black square about the stuff that you don't want us to see. So even more opportunity for really only sending the stuff that you want the product to know about. Then the next criterion, as said, it is about full lifecycle protection, which means that the privacy is respected from the data generation to its usage, probably handing over to third party, archiving and deletion. So as said, we are really much into data avoidance and data minimization. So there's really not that much for us to do in this case, because no data, no lifecycle. Our general privacy policy is just to avoid collecting data. And if it is collected, it is anonymized, and if possible, it is deleted as soon as it's no longer needed. So this is where we explain in detail to the user what their rights are and what is done with the data, that the data is deleted, for example, if the users withdraw that consent or if we just no longer need the data. And here is one specific example, is that there is data that we are capturing, but only for 30 days. And this is about subscription downloads. This means that an IP address has downloaded this filter list. This is something that via the extension gets sent to us. And same for extension update checks. There's a feature called emergency notifications and this issue reported data that I just mentioned before. And these are data that we are not collecting actively, but which is just part of our logs, apart from the issue reporter that we are collecting actively after the opt-in of the user. But all of this data is removed after 30 days, which is not a very long time span. And again, something where, from a product development perspective, and also from a quality perspective, you probably would like to look into the issue reporter data that is some years ago and see how things change. But we just can't, because we value privacy on that high level. We give it that much prioritization that we say we do this only for the 30 days and then it's gone. Last thing that I want to talk about a bit more in detail is about this principle about visibility and transparency, to communicate as transparent as possible what the user's data is used for. As said, AdBlock Plus is a open source community, and I think this goes for everybody else here who is involved with an open source community. You just communicate very transparently. And so in our example, you can check out all of our source code and as well all of our feature development in terms of issue tracking. We are doing this mostly in GitLab. This is our code review tool, Readfeld, where all of our code reviews are public. And this is our issue tracker that will soon be most probably replaced by GitLab. But at the moment, you can monitor both. This is a track. And as said, both are public, and you can check out what we are doing, why we are doing it, and what the results are. And also, What comes into the next release and all of the products that I mentioned before, from the extension to the app. And if you want to get involved in the discussion, we are having our public chat on the Mozilla IRC. It is just called AdBlock Plus. So yeah, join the discussion. We are and really try to be as open as possible about all of this. So wrapping this up, asset privacy is like oxygen. So just provide it to your users. Keep this in mind that this is, even apart from any regulations, it is so important for the users and for building trust with your users. Privacy by design, as a concept, it just helps you to focus on the main topics, to see that you don't forget anything, because there are so many things about this. GDPR in itself, it does apply to open source development, and it enforces privacy by design. So even more important it is now to understand these principles and to act by them. And as said, privacy by design is easy to grasp, but it is hard to do. So like I did now about AdBlock Plus, please share your best approaches with your and other open source communities so that we can learn from each other and see where you came up with great processes, product features that really respect your users' privacy. So thanks all for listening in, and I'm happy to hear about your questions and also probably step into a discussion how you provide privacy by design to your users. Thanks. Any questions? Mm-hmm. The question was, how should a community deal with the case when the user is providing personal data in a forum comment that was neither required nor that you want to have them shared? It is a very hard thing because you can't prevent them from upfront. You just can educate them and make sure that you have moderators caring about this. So just anecdotal, I was involved in a project where we provided a community for kids at the German TV channel Kika, so this Kinderkanal. And there they had the same issue. It was a public forum and they really not wanted the kids to share their names, where they were living and so on. So what they did, they really had 12 people there from morning to evening. And everything that the kids were sharing in this forum was read by these moderators before it went live. So they really employed people to read everything. And in the evening, they closed down the forum to keep up with German working laws so that people don't need to work the whole night shift. This is not something that any open source community can provide. So that you will have this data probably in the forums. And you, as I said, you can only try to educate and afterwards delete if there's something that should not have been shared. Any other questions? Or is there probably, so some people showed up in the beginning, anything that you do in your open source projects to provide your users privacy? Anything interesting to share? Yes.
Well, it's everything you mentioned about the privacy by design, especially those principles, might be quite restrictive to apply to already existing software, especially if it's not free software, so if it's not caring about not tracking users, but also, but still the GDPR applies that success and privacy by design is a principle. So do you think that in the end this will result in all software having to adopt these principles, or do you think that there will be that the outcome will be a compromise in the end by for example yeah, the business models of already existing software. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the question was, there is so much software functionality already that is not respecting privacy by design, and what will happen about this, and how will the courts rule about that? I can't look into the future, and I don't really know what but I think that it really depends on whether people will take this to court. Whether there is a strong movement, I think this also should be driven by the open source community and by everybody who's interested in web politics and providing privacy to everything that is connected to the digital world, to really take companies to court if they don't comply, with features that are already there or features that are new into the development. What I see at the moment is that there really are things changing. Companies are starting to care more about these features. They really hate it and they complain, but they really do. It is also changing things that are moving in the ad industry, which is something that we from AdWord Plus are monitoring quite closely. So these are great things to see. So I'm very happy about that. But also I think that there are lots of things where people just try to say, okay, I provide this opt-out somewhere hidden, or I provide this clause in my privacy policy, and then everything is fine. And there it really depends on who is taking this to court and how the courts will be ruling about this. Because I agree, there's room for compromise, and we just need to see how this evolves in the future. Yes? Yeah, so IO is preparing for the LDI certification, which is the Landesdatenschutzbeauftragte Nordrhein-Westfalen. We are a Cologne-based company, so this is where our regulation is living. And yes, we are currently preparing for that. More questions, please. Okay, then thanks everybody, and have a nice day.